So this morning, we're talking about something that everybody, at some point in your life, you really wrestle with. We're talking about how to get past your past. How to get past your past. And this is week one of No Turning Back. And I think when we set ourselves on the path that we want to follow Jesus, we want to be used by Jesus, one of the things that holds us back is our past. And we all have one. I felt like when I literally was thinking the other day, like, and all this stupid junk I got into before I was 19, like, I was an overachiever in all things bad decision. I don't know if you ever feel like that, but I was like, man, it's amazing what you can get into before you're even an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look back like, wow, like, that's crazy. And so I just wanted to share some of this, talking about getting past our past. I think there's certain things, different categories we wrestle with. So one is like stupid things we do. Like, do you have anything you wish you could forget? Raise your hand. Everybody, right. And the ones that didn't raise their hand just went, what did he say? Okay. You know, we all have things we wish we could forget. So sometimes it's things we do. So stupid things. Like me and my buddy Bruce had this brilliant idea to toilet paper Cofield School. Great idea. We went there. He lived right across the road. Nobody ever knew it was us. Got us on video camera. We had to go back and clean it up. It was great. Good times. Okay, just stupid. You know, just like, I wish I could forget that. Then there's things that, and that's just a tip, by the way. I shot a bottle rocket into a dude's car while he was driving 50 miles an hour. Okay, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. But then there's things that others do to us that we wish we could forget. Okay, so one is things I've done, and the second thing is things other people do to us. So here, let me give you this. My buddy Bill Lester, I was hanging out when I was about 18. I was hanging out with a bunch of guys from Oliver Springs. It had this cross-mogination going. It was like I had my neutral gang colors on, being from Cofield. First time I was bridging out into foreign lands. And so I started hanging out with these guys from Oliver Springs. And we were hanging out, and it was Corey White, Bill Lester, D-Bass, and Travis Loy. And we were at my house one day, and we invited these girls from Roan State. We were all in Roan State, and these girls we thought was cute. We invited them, there was like three or four, and we invited them over to the house, you know, because it's cool, because I still live with my mom, you know. So we're like, hey, y'all come hang out in my bedroom. Still got basketballs on the wall. Anyways, so we invite them over, and listen to how awesome we are. We're so romantic. We invited them over to watch us play Halo. What's up, ladies? You know, that's right. That's right. Y'all want to come over and watch us play Halo? And so we invited them over. And so I make pizzas, and I'm walking in there. And so everybody's just kind of sprawled out. And I walk in there, and I got two pizzas, pepperoni, cheese. And I'm carrying them in there like, all right, guys, I got the pizzas. And right, I'm going to get right about here. I don't remember who it was, but one of the guys ankled me, pantsed me, pulled my pants down. Girls, dudes, pizzas. And I felt like it was like, and it was like, you know, the shame in the moment was like, it's never ending. It's just like, let me take 30 years to put these pizzas down. I wish I could forget that. I can't. And they remind me every time they see me. But then there's things that happen that, so it's not something you do, it's not something others do too, but it's just life. And life's hard. And I remember one of the worst moments of my life was when I got the phone call. And it was a Hispanic voice on the other end. I quickly recognized it was our neighbor Darlis in Venezuela, who lives beside our house in Venezuela, our Sandra's parents' house. And she said, Chris, I just need you to stay calm. I got to tell you, I need you to tell Sandra that her dad just died. He just had a brain aneurysm. And he just died, and you need to tell her. And that moment, it was like the worst moment, the worst feeling of my life ever. I literally was like, great. You know, like, how do you do that? Like, she's looking at me like, what is it? What is it? And I'm just like, the fear, you know, the adrenaline, the fear. Like, how do I communicate this to my wife, and how is she going to react? And it's like, I just like, whew, took a deep breath. I said, baby, I said, your dad just died. And I've never till this day before or since heard wailing and screaming and crying like I did that night. She hit that floor and just was broken. It was biblical. It was like when they clothed themselves in sackcloth and ashes and spend days in mourning. That was the closest thing I'd ever seen to that. And I just held her. There was nothing I could say to make it better. We were a country away. I mean, it was just a horrible, hard moment of our life. And I wish I could forget that, but I can't. You know, there are things that we can't get out, and we have to get to a place where we can't let our past hold us down. We have to learn to get past our past. Now, maybe you today, maybe, what about this? Maybe it's things in your life that you can't seem to get past, you're stuck on. Maybe it's fights with your spouse. Maybe it got just a little too ugly. There's a little bit too much said, a little bit too much gouging. Maybe it got blown up. Maybe there's punching, choking, whatever. I've seen it all. I've seen it all. And not us, but I've seen it all. And I would say this. I would say, married couples, I do this in every pre-marriage counseling I do. Listen, learn to fight clean. Keep your gloves up. Because guess what? You're going to fight. But you don't have to fight dirty. You can fight clean. And we have to learn to do that. And so maybe that's it. Maybe it's just something you can't get through. Maybe it was trauma, abuse from a parent that just threw your whole life off track. Maybe it was an evil sibling that, maybe not evil, but maybe they hated you. You couldn't get along, or they thought they were better than you, and you always felt inferior in your home. Maybe that's got you stuck. Maybe it was you were an outsider with your peers. Maybe you were never cool enough, popular enough, cheerleader enough, whatever. And you just always felt like you're on the outside. And we get to this point and we say, well, what do I do with this? How do I move forward? Like, I just seem stuck with this, whatever this is for you, whatever it is, how do I get past this? How do I let go and let God? How do I get so I can be healthy and move forward? That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to see how Paul handled his past. And you think you have a past? Paul has a past. All right, so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, cool. If you have it on your phone, cool. If not, you can watch the big Bibles on the screen. Check this out. Philippians 3 says this, verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect. So Paul's making a statement saying, listen, I'm not arrived. I know I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm kind of a big deal and everybody, you know, wants to follow me. So he's like, I've not arrived. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I still struggle. All right, he starts out, he's saying, listen, I have not attained it. But he says this, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. One thing. One thing. Oh, come on. Are you with me? Say, I am. One thing. One thing I do. That sounds very singular to me. One thing. I love, amen. Whose kid was that? It was awesome. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and focusing on what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and focusing on what's ahead. Say, forgetting what's behind. Look at the person beside you and say, you got to forget what's behind you. Now look on the other side and say, you got to focus forward. Paul said, you know what? He said, here's what I do. He said, the one thing I do, I focus on it, is I have to let go of my past. I have to forget it all and press on to what Jesus has for me, what he's called for me, this new path he's marked out for me. And if you think about it, when he says this one thing, it's a singular focus, a passion. You know, the issue in life is not time. I say that a lot. I hear it said all the time. I just don't have time. Well, we just don't have enough. Every person on earth has 24 hours. Everybody. We don't have focus. We don't have priorities. And we're tempted to multitask, and women are going to love this comment, but check it out. When we multitask, it robs full engagement. So let me break this down for you. If you're with your kids and they're wanting time with you, don't fool yourself in thinking you can do something else at the same time. Don't, you're on it. Listen, I know I'm guilty. I'll be on the phone. I'd like playing a stupid word game. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Daddy, you're not even looking. Don't fool yourselves. When we try to do that, we are not engaged. We do not have the power of full engagement. In any project, any task you approach, if you devoted full engagement, you would do it better and faster than when we try to do 18 things at a time. Fact. And with relationships, spouses, woo, you better learn full engagement. When you're trying to act like you're listening, but you're not really listening, they know. Somehow, they know. There was an ancient proverb that said this: when you're walking, walk. And when you're eating, eat. That was it. I was like, that's so deep. Like, we would fail this test. Like, why? That's not me. When I'm walking, I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to be doing after I'm walking. You know, it's like, when you're walking, walk. And when you're eating, eat. Wherever you're at, be there. Focus. And I think in John 15:5, the vine and the branches is a great illustration of this. If you think about it, in John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you stay connected to me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. What is the only concern for a branch? Hold on for dear life. A branch knows if I break off of this tree, I'm going to shrivel up and die. I won't have the life-giving sap flowing through me. And he says, we are branches, and our one concern should be to hang on to Jesus with dear life, that everything flows from him. That's focus. So Paul says, it's one thing I do. He's focused. He's singular. But then he says, we got to get past our past, forgetting what's behind. And when I was writing this, when I was looking at it and wrestling with it, I was like, you know, someone needs to hear this today. God is a God of second chances. Someone needs to hear that today. Now, here's the really cool thing. As I was writing notes this morning, I was meditating on it even more, and I was like, God's not a God of second chances. He's a God of like 29 chances. So I scribbled it out, put like 29, random. And then I remembered in Matthew 18 when Peter says, hey, Jesus, how often should I forgive a brother that sins against me? And he says, 7 times sound good? And Jesus says, how about 70 times 7? And his point was, grace doesn't keep record. I begin to think, if he wants us to be like that, and we're sinful, he's perfect, how much more patient is he with us? He's the God of blank chances. I'll just leave that there. But Paul had a past. And if you think your past is bad, you need to understand, Paul had a past. Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was Saul, who is a very zealous Pharisee who hunted down, tracked, imprisoned, and sometimes executed Christians. Follow. So he's hunting down, seeing people murdered. Sometimes he participated, sometimes he didn't. But he's a bad dude. He's like the dude we would all be like, we need to pray that God just take him off the earth because he's just doing a lot of harm. Like, he's a bad dude. Now catch this. He has an experience with Jesus. His life gets turned around. And now he's like, I'm planting a church. Do y'all want to come to my church? Like, how awkward, right? Like, how much PTSD do you think this cat had? I'm being serious. Like, you think about it, like, he killed folks. I do talk with a lot of soldiers, and I love our soldiers. And none of us, please don't ever comment about stupid stuff you don't know anything about. None of us can fathom what it's like to be a soldier and have to take a life. Just don't get into the argument, please, because you're ignorant. It makes us all look ignorant. I'm ignorant. I don't have a clue. But I see them wrestle, and I just try to pray with them and encourage them. Paul, I guarantee you, he went through that in the nth degree. He'd been murdering the very people who later we found out were the children of God. And it's like me hunting down. It's like me going all Hitler and hunting down everybody from Morgan County and then be like, oh, I'm going to start a church in Morgan County. We'll see how that works. It's just real, like you talk about his baggage, his guilt, his shame. This cat had to get past it. I don't know how he dealt with it. I really don't. Like, I like literally, if you think about what he did, I'd be like on my knees, every serp, be like, we all forgive me. I please, Paul, we've forgiven you. Please just do it again. I feel horrible. I'm sorry. Like, he had to get past his past. And so do we. Your past will keep you in the past. And you'll never be able to walk into the future God has for you until we let it go. That's not just what Scripture says. That's what life says. That's what experience says. Baby elephants teach us a lot about human freedom. I don't know if you knew that. Baby elephants, here's how the circus trains them. When they're babies, they put a stake in the ground with a little rope and they wrap it around its neck. And every time that baby elephant tries to get away, it pulls it back. And the baby elephant just learns the rope means I can't go anywhere. The rope is my master. But you know the funny thing is as the baby elephant grows and gets huge, it could easily pull that stake up, but it never does because I can't go anywhere. It's got the rope on me. And that's why you can see elephants at the circus sometimes. You can see them tied to a little bitty stake. And sometimes I've even heard of instances where they don't even have it tied to anything. It's just the rope. Like the elephant's like sitting there and they got a rope on their neck like, I'm trapped. I can't go anywhere. But isn't that like what we do? Like we have no idea who we are in Christ and his power in us and what he can do through us and for us and overcome in us. And we're a lot of times we just allow our past just to keep us chained down, even though we're so much bigger and we could pull it up and we could walk away if we wanted to, but we don't. We have to get past our past. And then we have to strain forward to what's ahead. Paul says, forget about your past and look forward to what God has for you. And I want you to know today that God has plans for you. God has goals for you. It's glorious. The fact that somehow God loves every one of us and is mindful of us, that boggles my mind. That boggles my mind that he has time for me, John, when I get frustrated at myself because I just get frustrated at myself all the time. Like I talk to myself like I'm a big loser. And like the fact that he has time to hear me whining, like that just, that blows my mind. And he says, focus on what's ahead. And I love when we talk about God's goals, when we talk about God's plans, I want you to know something today. We're all on a spiritual journey, every one of us. We're all on a spiritual journey, but we can journey somewhere on purpose. Like we're all going to end up somewhere on this journey, but we can choose to end up somewhere on purpose. We can choose the path we're going to journey on. And I love this. When we talk about God's goals and his vision for us, look at this. This is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. It says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. A lot of people here, your life feels like a desert. You feel like I haven't drank water. I'm parched. I'm thirsty. I'm hungering for something. I don't really know what it is. I feel lost. I feel incomplete. And he's saying, listen, it's me. He's saying, I will bring water into your desert, into your wasteland. Forget the past. He knows everything you've ever done. And he says, forget the past. Jesus died for all that. He paid for all that. Don't keep dwelling on it. He says, I will bring a new work. I'm doing a new thing. I will bring new fresh water into your desert. And we all are in a desert sometimes. And we all need his fresh water. So let me ask you a question right now. I'm going to ask you a big question. What is one thing in your life that if you could change it for 2019, it would change everything? Like what a difference it would make in your life if you're able to change one thing in your life. Think about that. Ponder that. You know, we just got through the New Year's resolutions and some of us have already blown it, right? We're like, I'm going to the gym every day. That lasted a week, right? I'm not eating any more cereal at bedtime, right? That lasted a day. You know, we have all these resolutions. And I'm asking, like, what is the one thing in your life that you're like, if I could just change this, maybe it's a habit. Maybe for 2019, you say, you know what, I'm going to drink a little less. Maybe it's like, maybe you're not getting drunk, but you are depending on that drink. And you're drinking a lot. You're like, you know, I'm going to cut back on that. I need to stop drinking so much. Maybe it's a different type of habit. Maybe it's technology. Hello, families. Maybe it's you all go out to eat and you're all on your phones at the same time. and you're texting each other at the dinner table. That's a little extreme, exaggerated, but technology, you know, we can become addicted. Maybe it's, I need to cut back that. Maybe it's, I need to cut back on work a little bit. Maybe I need to be home more this year. Whatever, think about what is the habit? What is it? Maybe it's a good habit. Maybe it's like, you know what? I need to start reading the Bible. Maybe it's, I need to start praying. You know what? If I read the Bible or if I prayed, my life would probably look a lot different. Maybe it's going to church and being around people who can encourage you and being under the teaching of the Word of God and learning about God and growing. Maybe that's what you've been missing this past year. Maybe it's not a habit. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe this year is the year you need to say, I'm not going to allow myself into toxic relationships that suck the life out of me. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you say, this year, I'm going to put in time and we're going to work on our marriage. We're going to go to the marriage retreat. We're going to do this and that. We're going to start praying together like it is worth it. Our marriage is worth it. We're going to put in the work. Maybe that's what it is. Dads and kids, maybe it's, I vow to spend more than 5 minutes a day with my child. I read a magazine article one time, and this was like before I was a dad, and it scarred me for life. It said that the average dad spends 10 minutes a day with his kids, and I just thought, that's shameful. I'm not trying to throw anything. If that's you, that's between you and God. But for me, I just always said I wanted to be better than that. I always want to try to be better than that. It's hard. Maybe it's finances. Maybe this year, instead of adding to debt, let's pay a little debt off. I'm not saying you got to get out of debt. That's a tall order in 1 year. But maybe it's, hey, let's just pay a hunk off. Let's make a goal. Maybe it's, we're going to work together on the finances. Maybe we're going to help people more. Maybe God has blessed you. And you're like, you know what? We need to start budgeting money to help people. Maybe that's what God's speaking to you. Whatever it is, whatever your one thing is, think about it and pray about it, say, and just commit it to God and say, no turning back. Today, over your Sabbath day, I want you to pray about it. When you get home, I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk about it with your spouse. I want you to think about what is it that God's calling me to do? What is God saying? This is something that would help grow your life this year. I want you to commit to this. I want you to test me on this. I want you to try this out. And maybe it's getting into a group and actually letting people in your life. I don't know. But whatever it is, pray about it and then commit it to God and say, no turning back. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick with it. And see what God can do in 2019. I really believe the best is yet to come. And I'm fired up. The Unite service was incredible. We're so better together already. But guess what? But that means nothing if our families and our marriages and our singles and our teens and our children are not healthy. Then it doesn't matter. We want what's best for you. We want to grow with you. We want to grow all together. We all need Jesus. And this year, let's all grow in Him.